Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. So happy to be here today with a young old friend of mine. His name is Dr. Ryan Flanagan, and he is a foot and ankle specialist, a surgeon at Independence Health System. And we're so happy to have Dr. Flanagan on the show. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, we're so glad to have you here. We're recording this show in April for a May debut. You're our first show coming up in May, which we're excited to have you on there. The weather is breaking. People are out exercising more than ever, and some of us may not have done too much over the winter months, and now we're out there. And so I'm sure this is when your busy season starts to heat up. Lots of people trying to come in and get an appointment with you. For injuries or wear and tear that they're having. So this is a perfect time to talk to you. I'd like to introduce physicians to the audience. Would you mind talking about where you grew up and your education and training?
Sure, absolutely. So actually, Jen, I'm a native Pittsburgher. I grew up in the South Hills. I lived in Upper St. Clair, Peters Township for most of my high school and graduated actually at Peters Township. I did college up at University of Notre Dame in Indiana, and subsequently did my medical school and residency at the Great White North up in Rochester, New York. Subsequent to that, once I finished my residency, I actually did an additional year of fellowship in foot and ankle surgery at Mount Sinai in New York City. So I was had time and experience there with some excellent and very talented surgeons to get better at the foot and ankle portion of our job and what I do. And then I returned back here to practice. My first job was with Accella Health, which morphed now into Independence Health with the addition of Butler and Clarion. And joined an excellent group of surgeons here in Westmoreland County and have been providing care ever since.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You have a great partners. You have great team at Independence Health. Tell us why you decided to get into orthopedics and then specifically foot and ankle, because that's a lot of decision making for such a young guy.
I always kind of thought in the back of my mind I wanted to do orthopedics. Growing up, I was an athlete. I played multiple sports in high school. Obviously, going to Notre Dame, it was a big sports environment. A lot of people like myself who were competitive in high school continued to be competitive in college, and kind of always knew in the back of my mind that's what I wanted to do. But I told myself, open mind.
And really enjoyed my time in college and was with a lot of like-minded people. I always knew I wanted to go into medicine. And I think in the back of my mind, I always knew I wanted to do orthopedics. But I told myself I was going to go into medical school with an open mind and really try to explore my options. And I did, but I kept coming back to really enjoying orthopedics. I got involved with some research actually as a first-year medical student. I found a mentor in the department and kind of took me under his wing, got me involved in some research projects, and was able to take that forward and do a couple presentations and write a paper and really introduced me to that whole world, and particularly the world of foot and ankle. And as I progressed in med school, I felt like orthopedics was a great combination of doing things with your hands. I really found I enjoyed surgery, as well as some diagnostic challenges, and foot and ankle specifically was a challenge in that regard. And I found very enjoyable. So I ended up pursuing that and doing my residency, as I said, at University of Rochester, which was a fantastic environment for a young surgeon or an aspiring surgeon. Subsequently did fellowship to get additional training in foot and ankle, which has been my path ever since.
School. Like, I'm sure your parents were probably thinking, oh, another 2 years. Great. This is going to be good. But it was so worth it because look where you are now. And I have to say, I know as much as you like working with athletes, I think you have a nice mix of patient base here, don't you think?
We absolutely do. In all honesty, athletes are a very challenging population in and of themselves. And one thing about foot and ankle that really attracted me was that you work with all populations. I work with everyone from, teenagers, some kids. I try to take care of the things I can in a community setting comfortably. Obviously, we have an excellent children's hospital very close by. And so there are things that are very appropriately handled by them. But I try to keep care in the community where I can. It's a burden for a lot of our patients to have to travel downtown. So if we can safely and effectively help them here, we certainly try to do that. But foot and ankle really does give me that opportunity. I do get to work with athletes. I get to work with kids. I work with people of all ages with all types of problems, sports problems, deformities, fractures. I really enjoy fracture work. And so it's really been a good match for me. I don't think I knew all that going into it, but as it turns out, it was a very good choice for me to make. And I've certainly enjoyed my career thus far.
Wonderful. So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're located? Because people don't always come to see you in the hospital, right? I mean, so most of the time they're going to make an appointment and come in and see you.
Absolutely. Yeah, we certainly, see patients at the hospital when they're in the hospital and it's indicated, but most of our work is outpatient. And so I'll see patients in the office. As an orthopedic surgeon, obviously we do surgery, but we do a lot more than that. And I think most problems, or a lot of problems, can certainly be addressed without surgery. And we always make effort to treat people without surgery where we can. But as for me, my office is so I see patients in our Connellsville office. I see patients in our Greensburg office on Pellis Road, and I also see patients at our Norwin Center off of Route 30. And so, myself, along with some of the other subspecialists, are kind of spread out across the county in the hopes of trying to reach people again closer to where they are and make it as convenient as possible for them to get a high level of care.
Do most of your surgeries outpatient as well? And are you operating mainly at the Norwin facility or sometimes Westmoreland? How does that work?
Yeah, so I'm a nomad. I'm quite a bit all over the system. We do surgeries at Norwin. We have a surgery center, a very nice surgery center available there for patients, which is great, and patients really enjoy that facility and that ability. I do surgery at Westmoreland Hospital, and then also at Frick Hospital. And so, a lot of it is again what works for the patient in terms of timing and availability. Certain cases are obviously better done, or perhaps better done at a hospital as opposed to a surgery center, based on the patient's characteristics and the surgery we're doing. Most of my surgeries, as you mentioned, are done outpatient. So in most cases, people can go home the same day. There are situations we keep people longer, again, for specific reasons. But I'd say the vast majority, probably 90%, 95% even, will go home the same day.
Wonderful. A little bit about some common ankle problems, particularly based on age group. So I know you did excellent surgery on my dad, who at the time was probably in his late 60s. It was more of a wear and tear issue. But people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s are starting to experience probably just overuse, right? Years of use. Maybe they were athletes in their younger years. Maybe it's just sort of the chronic, day after day wear and tear. So what are some of the common diagnoses and treatments that you do for people over 50?
As you said, Jen, I mean, feet and ankles are really a wear and tear item. They carry us everywhere, and we put thousands and thousands of miles on them in our lifetime. And so, they're maybe not the sexiest part of what we do, but they're certainly a necessary part of it. In terms of patients in that age group, one of the most common things I see, obviously, is arthritis. We see arthritis of the ankle, not as commonly as knees and hips. For reasons we don't really understand, the cartilage at the ankle is a bit more resilient than it is at the knees and hips. And like I said, we don't really understand the reasons for that. But we don't see as much kind of the wear and tear, but we certainly see an accumulation of wear and tear from injuries in the past. In other words, most of the time when there's arthritis at the ankle, that person's had a fracture, had injury to that cartilage in the past at some point. And it can certainly catch up with them there. So I certainly deal with and treat a lot of arthritis. Tendon injuries, again, people as they get older expect more, I think, these days. They want to continue to be active. They want to continue to enjoy the activities they're doing. Pickleball, for instance, we see a lot of injuries related to pickleball now, but tendon injuries associated with that are common. Obviously, the big one in the foot and ankle is the Achilles, and that can certainly cause people pain and trouble. On the outside of our ankle, we have tendons called the peroneal tendons that often get irritated and can get injured with a sprain, for instance. And then some of the foot deformities, for instance, when people have a flatter foot, they tend to put stress on those tendons in ways they may not have been designed to. And so we'll see issues with those at times. Obviously fractures tend to be from trauma, a fall, a slip. In the winter, the ice is classic. The first ice of the year is always a very busy time for us. Injuries and fractures there are common things we see as well. But I think those would be the major categories we see.
Of those things, like you said, some of it's surgery, but most of it you try to do some kind of non-surgical intervention. And why don't you tell us some of the things that you offer in the office, in terms of injections and rehab? You love your rehab staff.
Yeah, we're really blessed. We have an excellent rehab staff, really across our system. With the things we treat, I always tell patients there's really about four categories that we can explore with them. Medications, oftentimes anti-inflammatories can be helpful. In that same category falls injections, as you mentioned. Targeted joint injections can be very effective for people. I tell everybody they're not going to be a cure, but they may provide months of relief. And if they're giving you a longer standing and an adequate amount of relief, then they can be repeated. And if that allows people to progress and be active, that's a very viable option for people going forward. Beyond medications, we have bracing, particularly with the foot and ankle, and also in that category is inserts. People with certain shaped foot who have pain because of that reason sometimes can benefit from something to help correct that. An insert. Oftentimes I start with over the counter. There's a lot of commercial places that like to advertise. I generally encourage people to explore other options first, because I can often get them better at a much lower cost than what's being promised elsewhere. But bracing can be very effective in the foot and ankle, again, depending on the appropriate problem or depending on the problem that we're addressing. And then, as you said,
Technology continues to change too, right? I mean, there's so many new treatments and new protocols.
absolutely. That's been one of the more exciting things, I think, in my 10 years in practice is seeing that evolution, being able to bring some of those benefits to patients that get them better faster.
Wonderful. So then we move on to more of your age group, which is, the weekend warriors. These are younger people who probably were athletes in high school and college and, get out there and they're active and younger and probably stronger. But I bet sometimes the injuries are just as bad, that come in to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in this group, we see more of, again, the kind of more acute injuries. As you get older, it becomes a little bit more of wear and tear and accumulated mileage, so to speak. In the younger individuals, fractures are probably more common. And tendon injuries we see as well. Again, the Achilles tendon tends to be a Achilles heel, no pun intended, for a lot of people and causes people a lot of issues. So we spend a lot of time helping people with that. Fortunately for most people, that's treatable without surgery, but certainly exceptions and times where that is beneficial. But yeah, again, my age group, we tend to slow down a little bit, probably put on a few extra pounds, and that certainly puts a little bit more stress through our feet than what they had to see before. And so, especially when people decide they're going to start trying to get back in shape, we certainly see injuries occur in that kind of a setting. So it is a challenging group as well that presents with their own unique problems.
Me is it's better off just not to exercise because you don't want me to get hurt. Is that's what I'm hearing, right?
Everything in moderation and with a with an eye towards building. A classic story, we see someone who's never run before decide they want to try to do a marathon, which fully encourage. I think it's great. Nothing better for your cardiovascular health and losing weight. But you don't go out and run 10 miles the first day. It's a build up. And fortunately, as time's progressed, there's lots of resources now to help people with that. There's great training programs online that can get people up. But that's the classic story we see in the office of somebody who decides they want to start running again and really goes hard at it and ends up with a muscle strain, a tendon injury, a stress fracture.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And then we have, the younger group. These are probably, I know, Independence Health is still very involved in, the athletic training as well as team doctors for different high school athletes. And it's really good, I think, to have you on the sidelines, to have you involved with high school sports, because really it's a triage issue, right? Like, what can we handle now and safely, and then what do we need to send to Children's Hospital?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, we have a great athletic training staff that are our eyes and ears out there. Myself and my partners do certainly work with them, particularly our sports medicine and our sports surgeons, our orthopedic surgeons specializing in knee and shoulders are often on those sidelines weekly with some of our teams. But we have a great athletic training staff that is really our eyes and our ears and is able to help triage those patients, as you said. Get them to the right person to get them some help when they need it. And, myself, my partners, I think make lots of efforts to try to keep people in the game, try to keep them doing what they love and let them participate as to the extent they can. And when they can't, then be there to try to help them figure out that next step, whether it means we need to fix something surgically, whether it means we need to get them into one of our therapists in order to get them back to their desired level and back to where they can participate. At their to their maximum ability. So we have a great staff that helps us with that. But yeah, it's been a the opportunity to work with our high school athletes and our local college athletes has been very challenging and very rewarding part of what we do here.
Ryan Flanagan is a foot and ankle surgeon at Independence Health System. He's on the line with us today. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about the technological advances in treating many of these injuries or wear and tear that we have on our feet and ankles. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, here with Dr. Ryan Flanagan. He's a foot and ankle surgeon for Independence Health System. During the first half of the show, you talked to us about sort of the typical injuries and diagnoses and treatments of different age groups. But, in reality, things are changing constantly. I bet you're constantly receiving literature and updates about, how to heal different injuries. So whether it's a fracture, as you were saying, which we know is surgical repair, but also the advancements in technology, also with the tendons and arthritis and things like that. Is there anything really kind of neat that's come out the last 5 years that you'd like to talk about?
I think one of the things that kind of, two things come to mind, actually, Jen. One is really, I think, the advances we've made in bunion surgeries. As a trainee, there were probably 20 different surgeries I saw for bunions, even in my training, which wasn't that long ago. I'm actually not that old, but point being, there was no one great solution. And as I came out into practice, it was honestly a surgery I didn't love doing. I would try to do my hardest to keep people out of the operating room because I didn't love the results. I didn't feel like they were reliable or repeatable all the time. You can make something look really good in the operating room, and then 6 months later, the person has some recurrence, and that's not, the bone is not where you left it. Frustrating for the patient, certainly, and frustrating for myself as a surgeon to do that. But we've made honestly great strides in our ability to treat these and treat them effectively, treat them right the first time. More recently, there's been a push towards more minimally invasive type surgeries, which have their own benefits and challenges. But patients certainly love that idea. But that is a area that I have patients in my office routinely tell me, well, my mother or my grandmother had this surgery, and they said it was the worst surgery of their life. And it makes me happy to be able to tell those patients that that has not been my experience, particularly in the last 5 to 7 years. I think it has become a surgery that we are much better at and much more reliable at. That makes patients happy, and I think they do better than they used to even at the beginning of my practice. The other piece I think has really improved is some of our ability to repair tendons. The repairs I can do for Achilles now has improved substantially again over the last 7 to 10 years. Just the technology and the tools I have available in my toolkit that allow me to get a good quality repair to that tendon and get the patient moving sooner. A lot of our literature is focusing on the benefits of weight bearing early and progressing that. And you can only do that in a situation where you have a quality repair that's not going to undo itself or that doesn't place the patient at a high risk of re-injury. We're well aware of those benefits and trying to mold our surgeries in such a way that we can take advantage of those benefits that we know exist.
Just things are changing constantly, and I'm sure you love to see the better outcomes and, you know, less invasive treatments for these different things, which is great. Do we want to talk at all about the types of surgery? You know, you have to explain to us because I'm not an expert, obviously, like you are, but, you know, is most of this stuff laparoscopic? Is it done minimally invasive? You know, can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. It varies a lot. You know, it really depends, again, on what we're doing. I'd say as a foot and ankle surgeon, I always have an eye towards minimizing incisions where I can, because the foot and ankle is a difficult place to heal. I always joke with my partners and my patients, when I'm on call and I fix a hip fracture, those patients come back to my office at 2 weeks and their incision is totally healed and looks great. Whereas when I do a foot surgery, you know, we're nursing that incision along for some time. It's a difficult place to heal because of the blood flow, because of the swelling that occurs there, because of being dependent or down towards the ground all the time. So it is a constant challenge in terms of healing there. And to that end, the more we can do to minimize those incisions, I think the better people do. You know, there are certainly a fair amount of what I do that can't be done with a scope, unfortunately, that needs an open incision so we can actually visualize the problem and fix it. But we're moving in directions to minimize those incisions. I mentioned earlier about the bunion surgery. The incision I use there at this point is about 4 centimeters in size, whereas it was easily 10 centimeters when I started practice. So we've made a huge difference there in terms of both the cosmetic appearance for patients and their ability to heal that. There are things we do at the ankle that we can do arthroscopically. So whereas many of my shoulder and knee partners will do most of their work with the scope, where they can put the camera in and go in and clean things out, we can do that at the ankle. And I certainly, it's actually one of my favorite surgeries to do. I really enjoy working with the scope, and I certainly do that when I can, but not always a surgery I can accomplish in that manner. But that certainly carries the benefit of small incisions for patients. So we always have an eye towards minimizing the size of those incisions and hopefully thereby minimizing the potential for complications for patients. But unfortunately, a lot of what we do still has to be done open. But we're constantly trying to improve those and move in a less invasive direction.
I have to ask, I mean, you're a parent, you obviously work with athletes. I'm sure even you watching sports on TV, let alone the sidelines of your own children, probably scare you knowing what can happen. So, I mean, what's your advice to parents whose kids who are active and involved? I mean, there's ankle compression socks, there's, shoes that promise to support the foot and ankle better. I mean, is all that sort of hoopla? And is it more just making sure that you're doing conditioning and strength training? What's your advice?
Sure. As a parent, and as a former athlete, or maybe want to be athlete at this point, I've been through my own share of orthopedic injuries, probably what got me interested in the first place as a kid. I think the benefits of kids in particular participating in sports far outweighs the risks of injuries that come with it in the vast majority of cases. So kids get so much out of that, not only from a health standpoint, but from a teamwork standpoint, from a socialization development standpoint, that, I encourage my kids to do everything they can, sports, play everything they're interested in, explore it all. To get to your other question, there's a lot of marketing around those things. For instance, a few years ago, there's a big push for like the football linemen to wear braces on their knees, and you'll still see college teams do this. The studies show that it really doesn't substantially improve or reduce their risk of getting a knee injury. So, I think most of what I'd recommend there is common sense. Good supportive shoes that fit the child's foot. Obviously, the appropriate protective gear. My kids participate in soccer. Having good shin guards to avoid injuries in that area is obviously appropriate. And wearing them. Kids don't always necessarily want to wear them. But, a tibia fracture is a big deal and a big problem. for them. It's starting to take them out for a while. But, you know, in general, I think, you know, buying good quality, and I tell people all the time, you don't have to buy the most expensive shoes on the market. A good supportive tennis shoe or cross trainer is your friend, or a good supportive appropriate athletic shoe for the sport they're participating in is their friend. I think those kind of common sense things are where I would recommend and lean for people looking for advice in that arena.
And mobility is key. I mean, something happens to your foot or to your ankle and you lose that mobility. I think that that can be the start of, you know, a progressive downfall, a health declination, right? I mean, this is so important to be able to keep moving and protect your feet and your ankle. I have to tell you, Ryan, this is kind of a good way to end the show, but my grandma used to tell me, two pieces of advice: take care of your teeth and take care of your feet. That was what she always said.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, you know, my friends, I have a few friends that were in the Army, and that was the same advice they gave them, is you take care of your feet. You know, I know if you read stories about Vietnam, for instance, you know, they issued them multiple pairs of socks, told them to change them off, and, you know, it's a big thing. And you're absolutely right. I think that's one of the biggest challenges we have, especially when I do surgery for patients, is some of our surgeries, you know, necessarily require some time to heal. It's time off of it. And that's difficult. It's difficult to maintain independence for a lot of our patients in that situation. But it's one of those things that we struggle with, and we have some tools to help people. But at the end of the day, it is an inconvenience at the very least. And it's a challenge for many to be able to do that and, again, still maintain some independence, be able to do the activities they need to do. So I tell my patients electively, you know, my hope for them, this is an inconvenience, you know, for a payoff down the road here, you know, a short period of inconvenience for hopefully improvement here for the rest of your life. But, you know, things, fractures in particular, I mean, they rarely occur at a good time. It's always a bad time. It's always, you know, when there's 50 million other things going on in life. So I certainly have a lot of empathy there and try to do what we can to, again, get them mobilized early, as soon as it's safe to do so, and it doesn't compromise what we're trying to accomplish for them.
Started reading the Mealy family. Mr. Mealy is still going strong here 10 years after the surgery. So
fantastic
job. And I encourage everyone to learn more about independence, health systems, orthopedic program, including Dr. Ryan Flanagan, who practices in Connellsville, Norwin, and Greensburg. The number to call is 724-765-1006, 724-765-1006, or you can go to independence.health to learn more about Dr. Ryan Flanagan, his orthopedic surgery, and specifically foot and ankle procedures. So, Dr. Flanagan, wonderful to talk to you on the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's great to talk with you, Jen. Thanks so much for having me.
I learned a lot. I really did. And I'm happy to talk to you. I look forward to talking to you again in the future. If you have an idea for the show, please reach out to WHJB. We do this show every week. It airs at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thanks for listening.